Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyas, and today I have with me Demi Hicks. And Demi is a longtime insurance leader and has been running her consulting company, DBH Consulting. How's it going today? Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Tony. Good to be with you. Thank you for that. And I especially like hearing long-term leader. DBH Consulting has been in the insurance industry serving leaders since 1995.
Fantastic. And just before we started recording, you were talking about how your interest is really in the transformation that insurance is seeing, and especially in how leaders can navigate that transformation. And I've only been in the industry for 12 and a half years. And in that time, I've seen just huge shifts. The entire birth of the insurtech side, and just huge shifts. And the more that I chat with leaders around the industry, and generally we're chatting about their staffing and recruiting needs. But the more that I chat with leaders around the industry, the more that this idea that things have changed a lot more in the last 5 years than in the rest of their careers before came up comes up. So tell me about how those the transformations that you're seeing and how you're helping leaders get through it.
Yeah, well, I think you brought up two important aspects that leaders are dealing with today that I see. And my clients are CEOs of insurance organizations across the United States. But what I want to point out is that they were, when they started working with me, they were emerging CEOs. So they had not yet stepped into the C-suite. So that's a huge change and a huge transition all on its own. But Tony, you pointed out InsurTech, the emergence of what we've seen going on through InsurTech, and it continues to be a force in our industry. And you also talked about recruiting and staffing. And when I talk to leaders across the country, whether it be on the carrier side or in the brokerage field, those are the things that they're talking about. But I would also add that they're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, too. That would be the third one that I would add there. And so, you know, we live in a world today that, well, let me start before that. Change is not new to anybody. You know, if you're living, you're changing. If you're living, hopefully you're developing, you're expanding, and you're evolving. If you're in an organization, if you're leading in an organization, or if you're a professional in an organization, hopefully you are expanding and you are evolving. So change is not something that's new. And having said that, I would add that we live in a time where the complexity and the uncertainty is daunting. We live in a time with InsurTech and with what's going on in staffing and recruiting that, quite frankly, I would use the word daunting as well. And you're in that field. You know what leaders are facing. So when I'm working with a leader who is just stepping into their role or preparing to step into their role as a CEO, they have to ask themselves, who do they have to be as leaders to be able to adapt, to be able to hold on to who they are, to have the soft skills, and to have the hard skills to be able to lead through the change. And that's the way I spend my day. I could go through, someone was asking me on Saturday night at dinner. So when a CEO comes to a client call, Demi, what do they generally ask you? And oh, by the way, today I work with as many women as I do male CEOs. And that's a nice
Fantastic.
Thing to report. And that continues to grow and to change. So that's good. But they said, what does a session look like when a CEO, let's say a mature CEO, comes to a session? And I said, the first question I ask is, what's up? So there is no preset agenda. There is no preset curriculum per se, and we can talk about that more later if you want to, a preset curriculum, but it's what is going on in your life as the CEO every day coming at you that you're dealing with. And what are you doing well? What's pushing on you? What are the challenges? What are your vulnerabilities? Where is your authenticity showing? Where are you holding it back? So those are just a few of the sprinkles of the ways that I deal with leaders and that I work with leaders.
So the main thing, the main things that keep coming up are this constant changing environment. Well, when you talk to emerging CEOs, constant changing environment, and the recruiting side. I'm really curious. Obviously, it's the side that I live in. I'm really curious on the recruiting side. Are you hearing that they're seeing massive changes compared to the way that they used to recruit and retain, say, 10 years ago?
Now, Tony, you know the answer to this question, but I'm going to answer it anyway. So, and the answer to your question is yes, of course. It has become a C-suite strategy where it has become a CEO, not just C-suite, but a CEO strategy when it was never necessarily a C-level strategy before. So yes, it has made major changes, and CEOs recognize that if talent management is not at the top of their priority list, of their initiative lists, on their probably their top two or three, that they're behind in moving forward in their growth strategies. So their talent management, and that would include their recruiting, right? Their talent management has got to have the resources allocated to it, both intellectual, culturally within their organization, and financially, to support the growth desire and the growth vision of their organization.
So now one thing that I am surprised to hear is that before, talent wasn't a CEO focus. I'm gonna take a wild guess, because so going before my time, I'm gonna take a wild guess that there was an assumption of retention. Basically, as long as we're a decent place to work at, people are likely to stay for a long time. And
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, is that what has really changed? Just the people are less likely to stay just because we're a good place to work at?
I think it depends on what area of the organization. I think there are probably areas of the organization where people are going to stay because they feel comfortable, they know it's safe, they know where they're at, and that might be more in middle management parts of the organization. But you know as well as I do, being in the industry that you are, and you're a partner with Goodwin, and I appreciate the organization that you work with, and you too, Tony, that organizations have applied major resources to their own internal recruiting, as well as surrounding their own internal recruiting departments. High level, we're talking about very high level people, and they're going out and seeking the counsel and the advice and the resources of organizations like yours.
The future of work is constantly shifting. How can HR leaders stay on top of the latest trends to better lead their global workforce to success? Serva Soundbites podcast explores current trends and the hottest topics around global employee relocation and the future of work. We connect with industry experts, HR leaders, and innovative thinkers to share their insights and stories. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your business podcasts.
What I've seen on the talent side. So part of what I do, I do the podcast, which is usually C-level conversations, just small organizations. And then I do chatwithtony.com, which is career chats with insurance professionals looking to make a move at all levels, but a lot of kind of low and mid-level people. And the change in my world in the last couple of years that has been really amazing is the demand from the talent for remote within our industry and in the rest of the economy. Remote happened with COVID because it had to, but banking and technology and consulting and other areas like that were much more able to pull people back into the office than we have been with an insurance.
Yes.
So I'm curious how the C-suite is reacting to this kind of behind closed doors, and of course generalizing in the conversations that you're having.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the organization and the culture of the organization and the sophistication of the CEO. So, you know, if you have a culture, if you've had a 135-year culture or more of pre-COVID in-office working, then it's hard to change from that. But what we've seen is employees standing up for themselves and saying, we demand change, we want change. And so organizations respond to that by creating the working dynamic that is going to work for everybody. So there is no one size here, Tony. I would tell you that it really depends on the organization and how progressive they are. And if they're progressive, then they're very in tune with their culture, even if they have to change their culture to accommodate the changes in what's going on in our society. And that's what the sophisticated, progressive CEOs are doing, even if some of them, you know, were kind of pulling back and not wanting to. They've leaned in and they've said, we're going to do this because it's the right thing for our people. And if it's the right thing for our people, then it's the right thing for all of our stakeholders, for our community, for our clients, you know, for our organization as a whole.
You talked about how you come into each meeting with one of the clients kind of with an open slate of what's on your mind. But you also mentioned that you do have a curriculum that you can lean on. What does that curriculum look like?
So, yeah, I refer to a curriculum because I actually lead emerging leader groups. And these emerging leader groups, there are several kinds, but the one that's getting ready to launch in January is a C-suite emerging leader group. And this is designed specifically for individuals of property and casualty, or of insurance brokerages, not just property and casualty, of holistic insurance brokerages, who will be stepping up into the C-suite possibly in 3, 5, or 7 or 8 years. And these people come together and it's a 12-month program. And we do have a curriculum that we've set for that program. And we have asked to participate in that program. And by the way, the people who are engaged in this are in the top 100 brokerage firms in the country. And we have invited to engage in this CEO mentors, so seasoned CEOs who have been there, they've done it, they're top of their class, to come in and to be mentors in this program over a 12-month period to this group of six. So that was the curriculum that I'm talking about, that I was referring to. And in that curriculum, we want to make sure that this group has the opportunity to connect, step into the role of the CEO. We want to make sure that this strengthens their leadership journey, but that they also have the opportunity to expand themselves as individuals. And those are really the objectives of the program. But we focus on the fundamentals of being a CEO: vision, strategy, innovation. That's where your InsurTech comes in. Talent management, leadership team. You know, if you were to step up in a year or 3 years even, what is that going to look like? What are the things that you have to be paying attention to? And as the leader of that group, this is my goal, that if you, Tony, were to join that group as a young entrepreneur, if you were to join that group, and you would look this way, and we actually do an assessment that is a DBH developed assessment, and you look this way, at the end of 12 months, you look differently. You have a different knowledge set, you have a different experience set, you have evolved, and that evolution of you as an individual, it actually shows and people can see it. That's my objective as the group leader.
And I think you mentioned that those are invite only. Is it generally the company that puts people on your radar to get invited for it, or how do emerging leaders kind of get on your radar to get invited?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking that question. And they are, most of the group, or the groups that I have led and facilitated have been invite only. And they were the invitation of the CEO, a couple of CEOs coming to me and saying, "Demi, will you form this group?" And I said, yes, if you help, you know, if you'll participate as a mentor, we'll form this group together. So there's a lot of collaboration in it. And so they are invitation only. And we want to make sure that the people that are in the group fit, you know, that they're a good group to be together. If a group of six, Tony, insurance professionals wanted to go through an emerging leader program specific to the insurance industry, which I think is important, by the way, and that has elements of innovation and InsurTech and talent management all a part of it, I would say, reach out. Let's have a conversation. You never know what can happen by having a conversation.
Okay, and you do one-on-one coaching also, right? Yes,
that's most of my work, is one-on-one coaching with either emerging CEO, or what generally happens is that emerging CEO then becomes the CEO, and then we continue our coaching relationship, sometimes, Tony, as long as 10 years or more.
Excellent. So what's kind of the minimum level? Are we talking people who are SVPs in the organization, or kind of how do you measure who might be a good candidate?
So a good candidate is someone who understands that they want to grow and develop, and someone, I would say, who has, if not the C-suite at the end of their plan, who has aims, who has very significant, determined aims. And it would be great if they had an organization that supports that, but if not, that's okay too. So it's hard to just put a title on it. You know, this particular group that launches in January, they range from presidents of a division of very large organizations, so, and they're the president of a division, to an executive VP of a very large division of the organization, to a senior VP and a board member. So they've got authority and responsibility now. And that's probably the thing to keep in mind, that they have authority and responsibility, and their organization wants them to continue down the path of development.
So they're existing people leaders right now, who have very high level objectives, very high level goals.
Yes, very much so. They have a lot of authority, a lot of responsibility. They're very strong leaders right now. So this is helping them step to the next level.
Okay. For a coaching relationship, what kind of commitment do you normally look for once you do decide that you're a good fit for each other?
So it's a strong commitment. So if you can't commit to anything, don't do it, right?
Three months, 6 months, or what is the...
Here's what the commitment looks like, and this will share the structure of the program. The commitment is 12 months.
Okay.
And it's a hybrid program. It has two face-to-face, one that starts the program, one face-to-face that ends the program, and then 3 months of individualized coaching on the back end. And face-to-face in the beginning, face-to-face in the end, those are all day sessions. Then virtual sessions in between, each session with a different theme that's a part of the curriculum, with a different theme and a different mentor. That mentor is either going to come from the CEO bench that I described to you earlier, or that special guest is going to be someone that I have gone to, probably from an insurance carrier, and I have asked the CEO of that insurance carrier if they would allow someone from their organization to be a presenter in our program. And that's going to be a very high level person.
Okay, so that is significantly more in depth than anybody else I have had on the podcast that does coaching. I love that. I love the in-person beginning and end and the multiple mentors throughout, all of them high-level leaders in the industry. Definitely unique within our industry.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, Tony. And thank you. A lot of time and energy has gone into thinking through, but this is a tried and true program. The program that we're getting ready to launch in January has been successful multiple times over the course of the last 12 years. And each of the alumni in the program actually has a participant in this program going off in January, which I think speaks volumes. And they are CEOs of their firms, and they're running the biggest and the best brokerages in our country today.
Fantastic. Very, 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 very interesting. I'm always curious about kind of people's backstories. How did you end up in insurance originally?
So how does everybody else answer that question?
By accident, basically.
Right.
Everybody, yeah.
That's exactly right. Interestingly, I got out of school and one of my mentors said, "Hey, Demi, do you need a job?" And I did. But he was in the technology sector of the insurance industry. And so I started in technology, and they were installing automation systems in brokerage firms. So I would go into brokerage firms and I learned about the brokerage environment. And I thought, that is the coolest thing. The way that they cared about their clients and the way that they all worked together and the way they were so much a part of their community. Now, that was a very, very long time ago. But so much hasn't changed in terms of what I just said. And that is that commitment to risk management and how that risk management plays and protects a client, and being a part of the community and doing so much service work for their communities. That's what I love about our industry, is how much the insurance industry serves in so many ways, not just through protecting assets and risks, but in actual service work in communities.
Perfect. And I want to point out for the listeners that on your website, demihicks.com, you've got a list of recommended books.
Yes.
So definitely check that out. When the podcast goes live, I will tag both you and the company on LinkedIn. Thank you very much for your time today and for sharing with us what you're doing. Like I said, as far as I have run into a completely unique offering within our industry.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate you for inviting me to be here with you today. I appreciate all that you do for our industry. You are truly an innovator and putting it out there. So keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much.